A Simple R6G Dye Laser, Part 3. By Dr. Mike Finley. If you've been following along, well done you. Then you might recall that we need a fast switch that works at a very high voltage for the laser's pump lamp and, indeed, for the laser to work at all. The above photo shows the little guy that makes it all possible. The atmosphere that we all live in is mainly made up of nitrogen, or CO2. If you work for the government /MSM, and, obviously, it doesn't conduct electricity very easily. But by applying a high enough voltage to it, like the xenon gas in the flash tube, it will conduct really well, in fact nearly as good as metal, and no more less. If we take an average breakdown, conduction, of 30,000 volts per centimeter, depends on your altitude, but this is not a bad estimate. Then a 3 to 4 millimeter gap should be a conduction point of about 10,000 volts. The spark gap that I've made is adjustable from 0 to about 5 millimeters. It's a noisy little git, makes quite a loud crack when it ignites. I've therefore sealed it in a plastic tube with a small clear window for observation. Now, for something completely different. For completeness, I need to describe the above circuit without putting too many readers off. It's similar to a single stage from a Marx generator. I was trying to think of a fun analogy for this and my mind, once again, went back to toys from Christmases past. Good old Evil Knievel. A cousin had an Evil Knievel stunt bike back in the early 80s. It consisted of a small plastic bike with a crude representation of Evil sitting on it. The rear wheel was a heavy flywheel, CF. You placed the little bike on a sort of plastic base with a handle and wound the thing up until it spun really fast, 10 kV power supply. Once up to speed, you'd release the bike and it would shoot off towards a ramp, SG, and end up smashing into a wall or skirting board, usually chipping the paint, worse, breaking a ceramic ornament, and all hell would break loose with parents shouting at you, FL. Great times. Technically, CF is the main storage capacitor, or flywheel, and needs to be no between 16 and 24 nanofarads. We need speed. FL and SG are the flash tube and spark gap. CP is the peaking capacitor and simply smooths the action of the arc switch, about a nanofarad. RC completes the circuit. I've chosen a value of around 4 kilo ohms. There will be light, and lots of it. The one thing that I could not show you with my Ruby laser project is what happens between the two mirrors when it's lusing. My poor camera would have probably exploded. In this photo you can see raw quantum mechanics in action. A brilliant yellow light as the electrons are stimulated back to their ground state. It overpowers the xenon flash tube's white light quite easily. Mirrors and electrons equals pure magic. Another thing to note is the rather beautiful spiral galaxy laser spot. Visually lovely, though it may be, quality laser optical it's not. The peristaltic pump. This pump has two uses. One I mentioned before, and that is to fill, empty the laser cell. The other can be shown with this photo. As I wrote in part 1, dye lasers are just ... a problem. Fast and with a wide bandwidth, great. Optically making and tuning them, yuck. You are not going to be able to watch your classic hardcore porn of the 1970s DVD collection, that you recently transferred from Betamax, with this thing. Not that I'd know anything about such things. Cough. The beam quality is poor, and that is a general property of dye lasers. In the above photo you'll notice that there is no laser speckle. The light has a very broad bandwidth. But the biggest difference is between the size of the spot on the left compared to the one on the right. When the xenon flash tube conducts, it generates not only light but also heat. Even the tiniest temperature change inside of the R6G dye cell will cause this thermal optical distortion. There are a few seconds between each laser pulse, but the effect is quite noticeable. Using the peristaltic pump to put fresh R6G dye into the laser cell, between laser pulses, helps to reduce this problem. It's not perfect, but as I have written, dial lasers are a dot, you get the idea. Improving on the laser beam's divergence. You perhaps own a little battery-powered laser pointer. What few people realize is that the laser light from the semiconductor diode is extremely divergent. Imagine a cone-shaped light source. It does not form the nice thin beam of light that you usually associate with a laser. To turn that light into a laser beam requires the use of a collimator. It's simply a telescope, or telephoto lens, with the light shining in through the eyepiece. This makes the light rays more parallel and, therefore, reduces their divergence. In the above photo, I've made a simple two-element collimator, not shown. Easy to see that it has made the spot size a lot smaller over the same distance. Also, there's some nice lens flare. The raw laser beam. Conclusion. A relatively simple project that demonstrates a narrow bores and non-flash tube can pump Pratamin 6G dye to its lysing threshold. Don't expect this little laser to burn or cut any material. Having written that, if we assume that the laser delivers, say, just 50 microjoules, what, second, with a lysing time of 100 nanoseconds, that would be an equivalent energy pulse of about 500 watts. Impressive for such a tiny laser. Quite difficult to engineer, as it's a liquid laser, but fairly cheap to build. Even though it's only low power, at this scale, it's nonetheless satisfying to make it work. Copyright Doc Mike Finley 2021.